You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We're bringing you two this week. That's how we roll. Everyone's like, how come the podcast only once a week? Guess what, people? I've answered your prayers. We're doing two this week. I'm here with one of the greatest UFC icons, Eve Edwards. How's it going, buddy?
I'm good, man. How's it going, Adam?
Good, yes. As well as beautiful, badass, hot. She wears the hottest outfit I've ever seen in the cage. Too bad her boyfriend is 8'4" and psycho. Colleen Schneider, how are you?
We're psycho. I'm great.
Yes.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. And we have CB Gold as well. CB, how are you, buddy?
I'm alive.
That's very comforting. Okay, so, by the way, Colleen, so let's get started with you.
Uh-oh.
I was at your last fight. It was Bellator. You whooped that girl's ass.
I did.
You got her down in the first, stopped it. However, It wasn't on TV. I was the only one in the crowd. It was me.
I was going to say you had to be one of only like three people still there.
I was actually the ref for the fight. I was in the cage.
That was it.
What happened?
It was crickets.
What happened?
I was supposed to be on the prelims, at the end of the prelims. And then when I got to the actual arena, they told me that my match was basically floating. I might be prelims and I might be postlims. So I did my full warm-up, literally was wrapped, about ready to walk out, and that was supposed to be the next fight, and then they called it and said, we have to wait, do the televised portion, you're going on after. So I went and took a nap for about 45 minutes, then got up and started to warm up again.
No, you really took a nap?
Yeah.
You were able to sleep knowing you were going to fight?
I did two full warm-ups for that fight.
You were able to sleep. No. Now, what if you would have overslept and
really? You don't think one of my coaches would have woken me up? Right, like, hey, right. Colleen, you have to fight.
But even though like your nerves are going, you're that excited, you're able to still take a nap?
No, I'm pretty... I mean, I've done this shit for a long time, man. I'm pretty chill.
Right.
I'm good.
Right. Now, how did you feel about that fight, though?
The fight itself, great. Like, everything I've been working on, I did. The whole, you know, the Gator Rule to the Anaconda, the whole front choke series, I've been working on a ton lately. So, the fight itself went great. I just wish that Bellator had a... put on prelims rather than postlims.
Now, what happens with your sponsors? Because I know people are sponsoring you, hoping you get on TV. Now, do you tell them, hey, bad news? Like, do they get mad at you or anything? Or
no, everyone was super cool about it.
How can they get mad at her? It's not her fault.
I know, but you
not everyone's.
But we're talking about MMA
reasonable
sponsors, though. Sometimes they're not exactly the
brightest gray on the box.
Oh yeah, or they don't. I mean, I can see people not or them saying, we paid you to be on TV. You know, I'm saying, you know how that it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
But they were all cool.
Yeah, everyone was cool with it. So hopefully,
nice.
I'm on the televised portion next time.
You should be on that. I mean, you murdered that chick.
I agree.
You did though miss weight by 4.5 pounds.
Yeah.
What happened?
Three pounds. I was weighed by 3 pounds.
3 pounds. What happened?
So my opponent pulled out a week and a half before. They were looking for a few different people for me, and then they found me someone a weight class up.
Okay.
So I was literally a week before the fight gaining weight because I thought I was fighting at 135, and then three or four days before, she pulled out. They were trying to find someone else. They thought I was still going to be at 35, and then they found someone at 25. So 3 days before the fight, I had to go back down to 25.
Oh, so you didn't, now you can't get fined for that, right?
Or no, did you? I can because it's not Bellator's choice. It's CSAC, and they don't give a fuck. So I lost 20% of my purse for it.
Wait, so Chrissy Daniels was third? It was Rebecca Ruth, and there was somebody in between?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you ask for the fight at the original weight?
And I asked for her to do a catchweight even at 130, and yep, she refused to. Her camp said that she was underweight. And then I go down to weigh-ins. You know, it's rolling weigh-ins from 9 to 11. I went down at 10:30 to weigh in. The commissioner goes, your girl's overweight. I don't know if she's going to make it or not. She's, like, working her ass off to try and make the weight. So they totally lied and just didn't want to do a catchweight with me. But
now, when you have three opponents in a week, are you just watching tape of everybody? Or are you just, at that point, saying, fuck it, who's ever in front of me, I'm going
to
do it?
No, I just got to a point where I was like, fucking somebody... somebody get in the cage with me. I just want to fight, you know, because I'd done a full camp. It'd been 8 months since
you seem like a pretty even keel girl. Is there another part of Colleen we don't know? Are you storming around the house angry?
She killed a chicken.
What's going on?
No, I love my chickens.
So are you? Is there a lot of mood swings that are going?
No, I mean I'm pretty even keeled in general. I think everyone gets a little emotional, like at the end of a fight camp. You've been going so hard, and you're fuck doing your whole weight cut. You have moments where you're like, I'm just gonna cry for no reason.
Now,
I bet Eve cries all the time.
Now, right?
Yeah, but it's not because of weight.
Yeah. Why do you cry?
Life is hard.
Oh, can I tell you guys? Wait, can I tell you this non sequitur? Sure. I watched the original John Wick for the first time last night. Have you seen that movie?
I got halfway through it for the first time.
It's phenomenal. But the part in the beginning where they kill the dog, I just busted out bawling.
Like, and they show the body.
Crying.
I'm like, fuck you guys.
Oh yeah, the dead puppy.
I was so sad.
The puppy was acting.
Dozens of humans die in that movie, like, and it's like, oh, whatever. But the dead puppy.
It was so sad.
That's like whenever I see a homeless guy with a dog, you give him money, but not for the homeless guy. Yeah. I just feel bad.
He feeds the dog.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the dog.
Like, my mom tells me all the time, she's like, you know, they take better care of the dog than they do themselves. I'm like, well, I fucking hope so. Because I'd be pissed.
Some comic had a joke. He's like, the dog's probably thinking, this is the longest walk ever.
I gotta put a shameless plug in here. Even Steven,
yep.
we're putting it out today, and that we reviewed John Wick 2.
Really?
Nice.
So you guys check it out.
Or should I watch?
You should watch and listen. You have to check out Even Steven and get all that information.
And if you're not listening, Even Steven is the name of Eve Edwards' podcast. It's all about his life. He's working with him and this like stunt guy. They come out of the closet together. that doesn't actually happen. But yeah. So
we stay in the closet.
You stay in the closet. Now, by the way, I got to talk to you about the Josh Thompson fight. So. Up until last Saturday, you were the only guy to stop Josh Thompson in an MMA fight. And this guy also in Bellator did it. Yeah. But are you upset about this?
I'm not upset about it. I just wonder why everybody took so long to figure it out. That's how you beat the guy. You just knock him out.
Just knock him out.
As opposed to other fighters, what do you mean? Anybody you could just knock him out by winning.
Yeah, no. It's just, I mean, Josh is he's a tough cat, man. And like 13 years ago that we fought, and for him to fight the names that he's fought in that time frame and not be stopped again. I mean, he's doing something right. You know what I mean? But Patricky Pitbull figured it out. So congrats to him for that.
Now. Some of these guys like Koscheck, now Thompson, guys that you started with, even before some of these guys.
I was fighting in '97 when Bill Clinton was president.
Right. Now, do you look at some of these guys and go, "Why are you still doing this?" Or do you get envious, going, "Man, I should be in there"?
There's so many guys, so it's both of those things happen. Guys like Koscheck, I'm like, you know, his chin is failing every test it takes now. And he's one of these guys that helped build the sport, especially the time frame that he came in and the changes that his style helped kind of show what MMA is about. But then you look at guys like Josh, and they're still durable. They can still fight. I mean, Patricky Pitbull knocks guys out. That's what he does. So it really doesn't say that Josh is towards the end of his rope. That's, you know, he fought a guy with knockout power, and yes, he got clipped. But he's also been 13 years without being taken out by anybody.
It's so hard to bet on these guys when they take 3 years off. Because, like, I try to, like, sometimes parlay it, and you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was certain that Mark Hunt was going to knock out Brock Lesnar in the first 5 minutes of that.
Are you crazy?
I was like, listen, this guy's taken 6 years off. Hunt, he's obviously doesn't like getting hit. This guy's going to – I was certain that – and then he went out and just dominated Mark.
Yeah, I mean, he's been grabbing and throwing around other 200-plus-pound men for the last 6 years and for the entirety of his adult life. So, like, that's what he's going to do with Mark Hunt. And you know that's not Mark Hunt's strength.
You thought that was
going to
happen?
I knew that he was going to wrestle.
But
like, that was his only choice.
Brock doesn't like getting hit.
No, he doesn't.
He deal with it well, and Hunt's good at hitting people.
But it does. I mean, it doesn't take much to just dart for those legs. He's big, powerful, but he's really explosive.
Yes.
So as soon as he gets into that range, he's tying up, and it's hard for Mark Hunt to get any range to land those punches. He was all over him that fight, you know?
Now Hunt is like suing the UFC, saying they knew that he was on steroids. They still put it forward. It put him in danger. You think he has a legitimate case or no?
If they knew, yes. I mean, if the test had come back...
But they have good lawyers, though, man.
So your question is, the question should be, does he have a legitimate case or can he get the right lawyers?
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about. When it comes to fighting these big corporations and whatnot, it's all about who you can get to.
Now, it came out today, Bellator is suing the UFC. CB, what's going on with that? I figured you would know about this.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Fail, CB, fail.
I can't. Know. Wow. CB, what are you doing? You playing video games all night? What's going on?
Fucking emergency room, man.
That was 2 days ago. So since then...
I've just been fucking sleeping when I get...
Are you okay?
When I'm not doing it.
Right, yeah, Bellator is suing the UFC to prevent access to documents in antitrust suit. So basically in 2015... A class action antitrust lawsuit was filed against the UFC. Mm-hmm. It is ongoing and argues that the league crippled the market and created an environment where fighters were unable to fight anywhere else. Suit accuses the UFC of running an illegal scheme to eliminate competition from would-be rival MMA promoters. And then it goes on and on and on. And then now it's saying that Bellator basically is... this is a long-ass article, but yeah.
So. Is this separate from the whole Nate Corey, John Fitch, that whole...
No.
...lawsuit?
UFC... So basically it's saying that... The suit accuses the UFC of running an illegal scheme to eliminate blah, 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 like I said, promotions. The UFC has subpoenaed its competitors for contract and financial information, presumably to demonstrate that other contracts, notably Bellator, were similar in their exclusivity, or as has been alleged many times, a more restrictive still. Ron Clements has a story of Sporting News. UFC main competitor Bellator then filed a lawsuit Wednesday seeking to quash those subpoenas. So they basically can't get Bellator's... paper
contracts.
Yeah, so that's basically what's going on. So since none of us are lawyers, moving right on. All right, but that is happening though.
Not to do with that, but something that the UFC announced the other day, which I wanted to propose to you, Eve, because I know that you work with guys sometimes at ATT and whatnot. The UFC is now taking away the ability of them sending fight tape to camps.
Yeah.
So if like. If you were fighting and you were fighting whatever lightweight, Eddie Alvarez, you can't get his tape from the UFC of his prior fights. You have to get a Fight Pass subscription now. And because they went out and
they don't even give to UFC fighters.
No,
they do.
Josh pays for his.
Which Josh?
Barnett.
Wow. Is he still under contract?
Yeah.
They say
he should get one. As soon as I retired, they canceled mine.
The really?
They say now that you have to pay for it, the $10 a month, and that's how you study your fight, the fighter you're going to fight. Isn't that crazy?
Like, why cheap
well,
out on something
like
that?
There's 500 people on the roster. So that's $5,000 they're losing every month.
That's not that much money. And not all those 500 fighters are fighting that month. Basically, 30 are fighting that month, if that. And
But I mean, it's a subscription.
About the subscription money. Yeah. Right?
Oh, come on. Did they really need the... that's ridiculous.
Bottom line.
I'm more saying the removal of fight. Like, they don't send you footage, so you can't study unless you go on Fight Pass and go, okay, I'm fighting Eddie Alvarez. Let's look at his foot. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And Eve, how much did you study your opponents when you fought them?
The beginning of camp,
yeah,
and then you kind of just watch them a little bit. But yeah, I didn't like to study too much. I would study at the beginning of camp. You kind of get an idea what you need to do and what you need to watch out for, and then yeah, every so often you kind of want to go back and look at it. But it's not like school where you read it every day or
could it be counterproductive sometimes where you're looking for something too much?
Yeah, absolutely, because. You just kind of want to get a feel for how the guy moves. You let your coaches worry about his tendencies and what openings he leaves often. You don't want to watch it all the time because you don't want to be in there looking for those specific things. Yeah, you want to look for the things that you've been drilling and training for, but you don't want to look for him to react a certain way because that timing is completely different.
Colleen, what's one fight you wish you could have back?
Avenger.
Tanya?
Yeah.
That was a good fight. I was there.
I would love to fight her again.
You were so close. Some of those kicks you had were like, oh, man. They were inches. Not even inches. Less than inches. Just I'm like, yeah, that was crazy. What would you do differently if you fought her again?
My ground game's a lot better more, and I think I was too cautious of her wrestling offense when I fought her that I wasn't aggressive enough.
Do you think she wins the rematch against that Russian chick?
I would love to see the Russian chick win that rematch again because I think that the ruling on her contesting it was bullshit. So I don't know. I don't know who wins that rematch. I haven't seen much of the Russian girl fight. There's not much footage of her.
Tanya's so funny. I asked
her. Better get like, fight pass.
Tanya's so funny. I asked Tanya, I'm like, are you going to the awards this year? And she's like, are there going to be hoes there? Like, that was like, Tanya, I got to admit, I wish she lived closer because she is a cool, like it's like hanging out with a dude. Not that girls are not fun to hang out with, but like anything.
Thanks for qualifying.
But anything, anything goes with that girl. Like, she's way more of a man than I am. Jesus, I mean, you agree?
Yeah, she probably has a bigger dick than you, too.
Wow. That's, I saw her ex-girlfriend. This little Mexican girl that she dated, the woman was like 105 pounds. She came to my show with her. She's like, I came with Tanya. I'm like, oh, you were ex-girlfriend. She was at that combate fight I saw you at last week.
Oh, okay.
Now, you're Josh's girl won? Or not your Josh's girl?
Alyssa Garcia won, yes.
Yes. It was a close fight.
It was. Oh, I thought she won. I thought she won 2-1. But yeah, she beat Kiana Rain.
Yeah. Now, that was crazy. Have you been to this combate?
I've been to one or two of them, but I didn't go last week.
Small tier MMA shows are like so much better in some ways. At the same time, there's a lot more danger involved because like shit might just start going crazy. Like it just seems like it's crazy. At that Bellator fight I was at, there was a fight between the one you were at, the one you fought at, the Chael fight. There was a fight between after Paul Daly won. Like, his corner got into a fight with somebody else.
Oh.
Yeah.
Someone in the crowd?
Yeah, like another corner or something. The other guy's camp. They got into a fight like right outside the cage.
Yelling at each other, fight?
No, like swinging. There was swinging involved. I actually missed it because I was somewhere else. I was like interviewing someone. My little brother told me he was there.
The fight of the night at one of those WSOF events was Khabib and Dagestan versus the Diaz in 209.
My friend Tracy, that was her first fight she ever went to, and that was of course the fight where Nick Diaz. Yeah. They fought entire Dagestan.
They fought in the arena, and then they fought in the casino.
Which is crazy, because like Stockton is like the Dagestan of the U.S. It's like just a place. It's just, that was insane. But all right, so we're going to talk a little bit about UFC. There's a Bellator fight this weekend, and I don't know if you're aware of it. It's in Ireland. What's the main event?
It's the Liam McGarry versus McDermott, I think, now.
Yeah, it's his third opponent.
Yeah, yeah, he was supposed to fight, I guess, Chris Fields, and before that there was somebody else.
Isn't he the guy that AJ McKee wants to fight?
Who, Liam?
Yeah.
No, Liam was the guy that beat Tito. He was the champion.
Oh, sorry, you're talking about two of... Okay.
And then James Gallagher is the one that... Gallagher, AJ
that's
McKee the
name.
Phil
Davis beat Liam.
He's fighting, too.
I didn't realize how big Liam was until he fought Phil Davis, because Phil Davis is a big guy, and he made Phil look small. He's a big guy.
He's like 6'5".
Big, huge.
He's big 205er.
But the problem is just that, you know, MMA in England and even Ireland, unless you get like a guy like Conor McGregor who just like defies logic, until their wrestling catches up, they're always going to have a problem. Because Liam versus Phil Davis is a perfect example of how American wrestling is just... there's also good wrestling in Russia and other places, but...
Yeah.
But If you can't stop a takedown and you get an athletic guy like Phil Davis, who I believe would be good at any sport, he's just going to dominate you.
The thing with Liam, I think with him, he got so comfortable with guys taking him down and him throwing up insane submissions. You know, the inverted bottom triangle he threw up on two guys, one being Tito, who's an incredible wrestler. He just got used to it, and he's like, all right, I'll let Phil take me down. And then Phil just nullified the jiu-jitsu completely. Phil's a different – he's got the wrestling, but he has the jiu-jitsu as well. But I do agree with you. You know, he gets comfortable, and unfortunately that's what happens. And I think also, same thing with – like you said, AJ McKee wants this James Gallagher guy who fights on this weekend as well. And I think AJ's wrestling background can nullify James Gallagher's game plan completely.
Well, AJ is right now just like, part of the next wave of MMA of just guys that are good at everything. When your father is also Antonio McGee.
He's been in the gym since he was, like, I remember AJ when he was like 12. You know, he's been in the gym since then. So he grew up there. And this generation of kids that grew up in the gym, I'm looking forward to seeing how they change the game.
AJ's problem, I think, is just going to be being too cocky.
Yeah.
He seems to, like... get in his head, I'm better than this guy, and that's just a dangerous game to play in mixed martial arts. Have you ever been too cocky in a fight?
I would like to say no, but I've had so many of them, I can't remember.
Colleen, you? Have you ever had a girl that you're like, oh, I'm going to kill this chick, and then shit went bad?
No.
No?
No.
All right. So this next week is the UFC 209. I can't wait. It's
how is Nick or Nate not on that car?
Yeah, 209, right?
It's been said so many times, but it's so true.
Like, I never even thought of it until you said it.
Right? You only get one shot.
What's also crazy is like how bad 208 was and how good 209 is. And I understand people fall in and fall out. 208 with 208 the Holly and
I'm
lucky. I only saw Dustin's fight. I didn't see any. We left right.
How's
after
his leg?
That.
By the way, have you talk to him?
I actually talked to him on the way here, and his leg's good. He's checking, like, just got to get his ligament get cleared for the ligament damage, which is just time. So he's good, and he's thinking about fighting again soon. So if that works out, it'll be a good fight.
Now, who does Dustin want next?
He wants someone ranked above him.
Yeah,
you know, he wants to get whatever it takes to get to the title shot.
Were you in his corner for the Conor fight?
No.
Oh.
No.
He's one of those guys, Dustin Poirier, that like you just like it's so hard to call a fight with him because he's either going to just fucking wreck somebody or he'll get knocked out by
caught.
Mike. I remember I texted, I think, Dean against Michael Johnson.
Johnson.
Dean, and I'm like, "Hey, how's Dustin look?" He goes, "He's as sure as a 100% pick as you can get. Johnson's not going to beat this
everybody
guy."
Picked Poirier.
And then we saw what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When you get hit, though, you know, anybody with those little gloves can go to sleep. But that's kind of how Dustin was fighting this fight with Jim Miller, trying not to get wild and reckless because he's a fighter at heart. But he's a smart kid. He's not really a kid anymore, but he's smart when it comes to fighting also. But there are times when emotion takes over and he just wants to sit down and throw and show and prove who's a bigger man, you know? So I think when he gets that under complete control, you saw him control it much better in this fight, you know? The beginning of the fight, he started out, he was fighting strategically. And then there's a couple points when he just kind of got into a brawl, but he was able to bring it back and rein it in. That's going to take some time, but maybe
like
in the next fight, he'll see it.
Biggest opponent. Everybody who he's faster than, he beats. And then it's like Johnson, Connor, you know, anybody who has an edge on speed, that's who he has trouble with. I mean, it's everyone's opponent, right? But
yeah, I mean, speed kills, right?
Yeah. I gotta say, I was thinking about you the other day. I was thinking about you and Josh and how crazy your sex life must be. Because
Hold on. Make sure you, because you went straight from me. And so make sure you explain what you do.
I'm talking to Colleen right now.
Okay. No, he was looking straight at Eve when he said that.
Yeah, I was like,
I don't have sex with Josh Thompson.
No, right. Well, you kind of made him, he was sort of your bitch. All right, so listen now.
Oh, shit.
You said it.
All right, so now is it... Because you seem like a pretty cool chick, but who's just down for things. Am I right? Like, you seem like the
kind of... How sturdy is your door?
All right, let me finish, EB. Okay, you seem like the kind of girl...
I like this all started with, I was thinking about you the other day. So this is what Adam was running through his head.
No, but I was thinking that, like, you seem like a cool chick, but you're pretty much down for, like, for your man. Like, if your man's like, hey, listen, today let's dress up as bunnies or something, or some kind of creepy...
Yeah, you know about our whole furry fetish?
Yes,
she told you about that?
He did tell me last time he was here.
All right.
So,
I'm glad that's public now.
Now, does he play Megadeth? And just is it hardcore? Like, when you know, when you come home, and there's this, like, you know, angry music, is it go time? Or
angry music is just standard. It's Josh.
That's the standard. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So Megadeth would be, like, soft metal.
That's soft. Okay, so he's more like AFI kind of thing?
Yeah, totally.
What?
Totally. So, he loves AFI. I actually fucking love AFI, and Josh hates it. So
oh, really?
Sometimes when I want to drive him crazy, I'll play AFI.
Okay, so all right. So that's how you get mad at him, and you like Josh gets angry. You put on the AFI. That's kind
of when it's go time, we'll put on some like Hall & Oates.
Oh, that would make sense to me. Is that you guys have sex? Do you have sex to Hall & Oates, really? Is that what goes on?
Private Eyes.
Really? Private? Wow, you actually know the song. That's crazy. So you and Josh have sex to Hall & Oates. That makes sense. That's good. That's good. All right. Okay. And are there like, there's got to be bondage.
Why were you thinking about this?
I don't know. I was just thinking how, because I like Josh, and he was here a couple weeks ago, but he's one of these people that, like I told you, if he wasn't a fighter, he'd be Dexter. I could see that he would have a list, and he'd go around killing, you know, bad criminals. I could see him killing people that deserve to be killed. right? That's sort of...
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
We can smell our own, and I agree with that.
Yes. Oh,
we can smell our own.
You would be on his list. Okay, so...
No, why would anyone want to kill CP?
No, don't, except for, you know... Anyway. All right, so that's... Okay, all right.
Can we finish that sentence, except for who?
Nobody want to kill you, except for maybe your parents for not moving out. Okay, but anyway, we're here. I'm
every episode, man, and I've been out
kidding.
For 10 years.
I know.
Actually, one person did try to kill me.
Your ex-girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Your
ex-girlfriend. Actually tried to kill you?
Yeah.
How?
With a knife.
How?
She tried to stab me.
What kind of knife?
A shitty one.
It was his own autograph.
So I'm trying to say, was she really trying, or was it
no,
like
she was
a
really
mad
trying. And
he
then
actually
she,
got
no,
the crocodile hunter
to
actually autograph a knife.
And then she threatened to go to my parents' house and kill them and kill my dog. Yeah.
So you date psychopaths.
And, well, that was the day we broke up, and when I broke up with her, she freaked out, and then she went to jail for a little while.
Nice.
No big
Holy
deal.
Shit.
I pick winners.
And sort of A. So, by the way.
No, they pick wallets.
How are you doing?
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't introduce me on the show. I'm kind of sad.
Oh, sorry about
so
that.
So I'm just sitting in the back. I kind of feel awkward sitting behind you guys, but it's no big deal. I've been out for a couple weeks, so I got some stuff I want to talk about today, but we'll get into it later.
Oh, no.
Any new dating stories, Joe?
Oh, we'll get into it.
Okay. He actually makes CB look normal. Like that story you just heard?
It's very difficult to do.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean? Oh, sorry. I got the wrong number. We're calling Uriah Hall right now. Uriah actually has taken a leave of absence from MMA to find himself, I believe. So we got to talk to him about that.
He looked in the hallway?
Stats guy.
What?
All right, so,
crickets.
Hey, out of every 10, 7
You
fail.
Just walked the crickets. That's how bad that was. The crickets walked out of the room.
Out of every 10, 7 fail.
That's true. That's my quote, right?
I use a lot of your quotes, Adam. You're inspirational.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice, UCB. You're a good kid. All right, so Rick, we're calling Uriah Hall right now. Hey, Uriah Hall.
Yeah. Oh, shit. What's up, man?
What's up? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It is me, Eve Edwards. We have Joe the Kid Perez, Colleen Schneider, CB Gold. How are you, man?
I'm good. Eve, my man, what's up?
Not much. What's going on, Uriah? How you living, player?
Eve's like the calmest dude ever. He's like, yo, Eve, I just won the lottery. Oh, that's great, man. That's amazing. Eve's so calm, bro.
I think it's because he's from the Bahamas, right?
Yeah, but he's from Jamaica.
Yeah, oh, he's from Jamaica. So do you guys have beef, being that you guys are both island guys, or no?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man,
we have no beef.
But historically, are Jamaicans and Bahamians, are they...
No.
Oh, no. That's just women. Island women are just crazy.
That's true.
They don't like each other. And you can't mess around with island women. You better not cheat on one. They'll cut your dick off. Wait, I can say that.
Yeah,
right?
You can say that. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Now, okay, now, cool. Uriah, I've actually I've talked to a couple girls that you've actually run through.
What?
you're kind of the man in like the SoCal dating scene. Like you play it very smooth, but then you go down in like the DMs, correct?
I go down to DM sometime.
Yes.
No. I said that wrong. I used to go down DM.
Okay, so now you have a girlfriend?
That was before I was educated. But right. I wouldn't do one of those. Hold on, I'm in New York. As you can hear, there's always just loud shit for no fucking reason.
Right.
Hold on.
Right.
These motherfuckers, man. And there's not even shit going on.
So you used to go down to the DMs, but now you're more of a... Do you have a girlfriend or a wife? What's going on?
No, I'm. You know what? I don't. I'm single. Yeah, I'm single, man. I'm focused on me.
Good.
You know?
Now,
anybody got time for that? But if you find your significant other, man, run with that shit, because that's hard to find these days. You know.
That's true. Now, do you mostly go for white girls, black girls, Mexican chicks?
I tell you what. Hold on a second. What? You took me to the wrong side?
I'm concerned about other people's sex lives today.
Of course.
My little brother's taking me for food. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Well, actually, white girls, they tend to go for me. I don't know if it's a chocolate thing.
Yep.
But Mexicans, I did one in my life. I'll never do that again. Nothing against them. She was just very short, and it was very weird. Black girls, they mad at me because they'd be seeing me with my white friends, and they'd be getting mad as a motherfucker for no reason. They start shaking.
Yep.
Fuck you doing all our good black men, you know?
Yeah, which is weird because white girls don't get mad if you're a black girl, you know?
I don't know. They're excited. But you know what? It's all about communication. You just got to communicate with someone, I think. That's the mature level. You got to communicate, and when you communicate, you know, you can build. can build trust. You can build all that other stuff.
I absolutely, man. Now,
I was expecting Uriah to answer with a typical Island Man answer and just be like, man, I'm like Captain Kirk. I'll fuck a green bitch.
You'll fuck a... Really?
Wait, what?
No, that's... I've heard that before.
What did you say?
He said that he was expecting you to answer like a typical Island person and say you're like Captain Kirk and you'll fuck a green bitch. So...
Oh, hell no, man. I'm one of those 1%. I'm that 1%, bro.
Yeah, he's that 1%. It's
like Jamaicans, you know. I'm Jamaican. Yeah, Jamaicans wear a lot of bright ass clothes and shit. I don't know if Jamaicans are trying to be noticed, but Jamaicans love bright colors. But I don't like bright colors because I want to be hidden.
Right. So, all right, because we'll go to fighting for a little bit. So, how are you, man? Are you training every day? When's your next fight? You making a comeback? What's going on?
So, I'm in New York City. I came out here because a buddy of mine passed away at stage 4 cancer.
Sorry.
I was actually trying to make it before he passed, and he actually passed. In the midst of all that, man, a couple of folks have been dying around me, and I think that mature mindset was just saying, you know, maybe you should settle down and all that stuff, and you know, focus on the important things, the important people, because I think as you get older, you start to realize what's important, who's important. And one of the most important things I've realized is time. That's the only thing people should be fighting for, because you can never get that back. And it's what you invest in that time, who you invest that time with. And at a point in my life, you know, I kind of thought about retiring too, but one of my buddies said, dude, you can't retire. You haven't even tapped into your real ability yet. And of course, with a couple of losses, whether it was me being sick or me feeling that the fight would stop early or not feeling as fair, it happened. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't motivate you. So I think it's just surrounding yourself with the right people and just getting back on board. I took a break to kind of figure out something I really want to do. And, you know, one of my buddies had told me, stay away from it until you miss it. I'm starting to miss it. But she said, stay away until you miss it. And when you do miss it, miss it some more. So I haven't missed it that much yet. However, you know, I'm itching a little bit, and maybe July 4th I want to get back on if they have that card.
I mean, the thing is, you're so talented. You're one of these guys, and it's not just talent because you worked your ass off, but you're such a fun fighter to watch, you know, and you're capable of beating anybody. But then you said sometimes it was hard for you to find that killer instinct, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, it's my background. I was really you know, karate background is like, you know, you use your opponent to a point where you're almost killing. So I guess UFC, that mindset is like, kill or be killed. And you have a nice guy like me that walks in, that's like, wait a minute. You know, so it's something that I've learned to dealt with. And one of the best quote I ever heard was, you know, you have two lives. And the second one begins when you realize you have one. So it's like, you know, I have an amazing platform. Although the UFC sometimes has favoritism, you know, you got to kind of bite down and maybe play the game a little bit and, you know, stay committed to yourself because it's hard. You know, sometimes people want to see character. Unfortunately, I'm on the limelight and people are always going to be looking at you and judge your critiques and all that stuff. But no one really knows that, and it's not for them to know it. So it's just trying to really handle all of that and still trying to be true to myself and say, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I really got to really say fuck everybody else. You should get out there and start knocking motherfuckers out.
Eve, if you were Uriah's coach, what would you tell him?
Well, it all depends on where he's at. I mean, right now, as far as stepping away from it, yeah, step away from it and look back. But go back and watch some of your early stuff, kind of remind you of what this is to you and why you do it. That was told to me a long time ago. I didn't do it. And I that would be one piece of advice I would always recommend to people. Going, especially when you get to the highest level and you have some problems or troubles and you start thinking about maybe calling it quits or whatever it is, you kind of have to go back to what it was that made you want to do this in the first place. And seeing some of your early fights, that kind of takes you back to that time, kind of makes you remind you of what was going on in your life around that and why this fight was important.
I mean, Adam Sella is still knocked out from you, by the way. He actually just woke up yesterday.
I think he's 100% right, man. I really actually took a break, and what I've been doing is I've been training for fun, something that I haven't done in a long time. Like, I was on Unbreakable, I was training with Bamba, a couple of guys there, like Arnold, Son. I was actually doing it for fun. And when I started, you know, it was the fun aspect of it. And somewhere down the line, something switched where it became a job, where I had to win, and
you know, people got in my ear and the limelight and all that. And I was about to stop, I had to admit to that. And I got uncomfortable, you know, and it took the fire away. It took the aggression, the hunger. And I'm like, well, I'm older now. I'm a little comfortable. Do I have to need that hunger again? And part of me feels like I do. But at the same time, the passion died. And I have to kind of reclaim that. And I think that's why.
Yeah, man, I know as a comic, I could kind of relate to you where just like being on stage is the greatest feeling in the world, but all the shit around it, the business, the this, the that, watching this guy get that and that guy get that, that can really fuck with me. I know it fucks with me all the time. People, hey, I saw this guy on this TV show. Why aren't you on that? Or blah, blah, blah. But I know that just being on stage is what I'm was born to do. Do you have this kind of the same thing with fighting? Like when you're in there, you're having fun?
Yeah, you know, I used to. I felt like it's not fun. You know, I felt like it's, you know, it's like you got to win, you know, and I think I struggle with that than just having fun. When I was on the show, I think I was at a really low place in my life where I lost a lot of my job. I bought a one-way ticket. You know, I didn't know I was going to get home, so I was determined. No one came out with me, and I was alone for the first time. So being that I was alone, it gave me that fire, you know, that hunger. I was like, literally, fuck everybody else. When I knocked out Adam Cella, my own team was looking at me differently. The other team was looking at me, and I was like, you know what, man, fuck all you guys. I'm here to win. And I bite down, and they had to beg me to stop training because I was so determined. And you know, after the show, I kind of lost that. But I remember when I started, it was just fun. It was just being creative. And I get bored easily, man. If you show me a move and it's too much, I'm like, all right, fuck it. But I need that stimulant where I'm creative. And if I'm not having fun, I can't be creative. So I think I just have to re-strategize myself, rethink where I'm coming from. And like you said, you know, just go back to the drawing board and, you know, watch my old fights. And I did, actually. You know, I was much more aggressive, brutal. I didn't care who you were. I was just knocking people out. I was like, oh, you're good? All right, no problem. But it's just going back to that, the fundamental. Because, you know what, at the end of the day, it's like Anderson Silva. You know, people looking at him like, you're too old. You shouldn't be doing this. Like, I mean, as an athlete, it's hard to hang up that glove. You know, it's something that you've done so long, it's hard to just give it up. And I'm sure it's tough for him where he's got to bite down and still go out there and have fun. He doesn't have that ego to get that belt. He's just trying to have fun. And it's hard for people to do that because people are still stuck in that old school mentality. Like, oh, Anderson Silva won. You know, no, motherfucker, it's for him. At the end of the day, it's his life, so he has to do what makes him happy. And I feel the same way, too. I want to have fun. You know, I don't want to go out there with pressure, but it comes with it. So it's just balancing all that shit and just putting it together and, you know, doing work.
That first Musasi fight, that knockout when you had of him was like a video game. I mean, that was insane. Well, you have so many of those highlight things. I remember one of your fights I was at when you broke your toe and you're backstage and you're screaming like a little bitch. No, I'm kidding. But you were screaming so loud. Oh, man. It was crazy.
Hey, I was allowed, bro. I was allowed. The bone was so far out, I was allowed.
Have you ever had sex with a girl who screamed that loud?
You almost had me. No comment, bro. I don't kiss and tell.
No, Colleen, what would you say to Uriah?
Well, I mean, I feel like I relate a lot to what he's saying about going through. You know, in the beginning, you just fucking love it, and it's fun, and you're hungry. And then over time, the pressure builds, winning becomes more important. And then a lot of like the politics with, you know, say it's the UFC or whoever you fight for comes into play, and that stuff starts to wear on you. And it starts to change how you feel about it. And some people become bitter or jaded or just lose their love for it. So I think I feel like everyone kind of goes through that when you've been fighting long enough. And you get to a point where you're like, you kind of need to step back and figure out why you're doing it. Maybe like fall back in love with it or get back to that feeling you had early in the sport. And it's interesting to hear him talk about it because I feel like that's very much a thing that like happens as you spend time in the sport and people deal with it different ways, but I feel it. I relate to it.
I like it.
Yeah, you're right, man. You just gotta fall in love with it again. That's pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because you know, I feel like I have all these tools I haven't really used yet, and I'm one of those guys. I'm not gonna lie. When I see red, it's hard for me to come back from it. You know, I'm nice, but
the moment I see that red, I zone out. And I've done it a bunch of times, whether it's in training or my past fight. I'll just see that red. And it scares me. I'm not going to lie. It scares me sometimes because I don't want to lose myself. And I feel threatened. And in my mind as a martial artist, you know, which is all about balance, I'm trying to balance it. I'm trying to control that. I'm trying to tap into that power of nothingness, as they would call it. So
it's deep, man. I mean, this is the, probably the most real, almost real interviews we've had, and I appreciate that, Uriah.
No problem.
And I can't wait. Listen, whatever you decide to do, I'm a fan. You know, I remember when I first saw you on Cool Runnings, I was a fan back then, and I'm a fan now. So I'm always going to be in your corner, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I'm definitely a fan of yours. I know we haven't really stayed in touch as much, and I wasn't being a dick, but I know you're a fan of the sport. And, you know, Heather actually talked a lot about you, so.
Yeah, amazing, man. She's good people. You should definitely bang her. But so.
Oh my god!
I'm just kidding. No, Uriah, when do you come back to LA?
I'm actually shooting something from the 1st to the 15th in Florida. I'm shooting a movie, so after that I'll be in Vegas. But I'm thinking I'm going to be in LA around maybe March, sometime in March.
What movie are you shooting?
It's an MMA movie. I can't talk too much about it, but it's like I play like the lead's best friend, and apparently I'm kind of a dick. So it's kind of cool because I'm a nice guy, so, but I'm a dick in the movie.
Well, nice. Well, good luck with that, man, and I will talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Adam.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Uriah.
It was Uriah Hall. Yeah, man, it's hard. It's like when my wrestling coach in college used to say all the time, if you're not thinking about quitting, you're not working hard enough. I think I got quit a week later. But I understand, man. I mean, this sport's brutal, especially for a guy like Uriah, you know, who is very emotional, you know, gives it 100%. You know, and I, like he said, I could see him getting in his own way a lot of times, but he's also so good at you know, that one. He came in such a good karate and kickboxer, you know, and wrestling was always kind of an Achilles heel to him. And, yep. You know, it's got to be really hard when you're so successful at one thing and not living up to people's expectations, and even having people's expectations that you feel like you have to live up to.
Yeah, people's expectations, though, they kind of can take you out of the moment. You know, I feel like a guy like Uriah, there's different guys in this game. But let me use these two guys for an example. Like a guy like Dustin Poirier, he has to be in the moment. As long as he stays right there and he doesn't think about what's coming later or how he got here, as long as he's right here right now, he's good. A guy like Masvidal, he can be here and be fine. But he can be somewhere else and be even better. Like the thing with Cowboy, if he's in the moment and he's dominant, he's winning the striking exchanges, he'll back off and he has that. It's like in the street, you know, I'm winning, so what the fuck are you gonna do? But if he can think about what's this gonna get me, where is this gonna put me, he will be more aggressive and fight to get to that point. So you have guys like that, and I think Uriah is one of those guys that needs to be right here, right now. And by being right here, right now, you can enjoy it. You're focused on everything you need to do and what you need to do, and you'll have the most success that way, I think.
I remember, like, in high school, not to compare my high school accomplishments to anybody here except for CB and Joe, maybe. Okay, but I remember when I was in high school, I was wrestling. I was a defending Class A New England champion, and I won it as a freshman, sophomore. My junior year, I lost 5 matches in a row. Like, I got sick. I couldn't make 125, barely. I was making like 120. But I was like trying to do it for everybody else. I wanted to be a nice guy. I wanted to like be a leader. And they had a school meeting for me. Like the whole school, I had to talk for the whole school what I was dealing with. They had the teachers, because it was a prep school, a boarding school, had like a circle around me and say, what's going on? Why are you losing? What's how this, that? They put me out in the
intervention.
They like shovel. It was an intervention, basically. I had to shovel snow for like 3 days and to think about why I'm not dealing with my problem. I got pushed so hard.
They punished you for losing?
They punished me because they said that I wasn't giving it my best and I wasn't trying hard, or like I was.
You suck. They asked, shovel Almost no.
They asked me better. If I was ethically dirty, like if I was breaking ethics at the school. It was
whole, wait, wait. They ask you if you were committing sins, and yeah, that's why you weren't winning?
Yeah, you couldn't lie, steal, cheat, drink, have sex, and they thought I was doing one of those things.
That's awesome.
Which is why I was losing. So I had gotten, at one point, I got so fed up. I was like, fuck this shit. Like I was like, I was either
going to,
I just finally just said, I got so angry that I came out and I beat everybody in the class A, in the New England's. I beat everyone. I won 10 in a row and I ended up winning everything because I was just, I got sick of just being pushed around. You got like, it was like no more Mr. Nice Guy. I got to that point where I was like, I'm going to be a fucking asshole and just murder kids. And I think sometimes that's what, like, it seemed like Uriah sometimes falls into this, like, I have to be someone I'm not. Like he said, you know, I want to be a motherfucker. I want to start knocking people out. He has to sort of get in touch with that side of him.
Yeah, you can turn that on. You know what I mean? That's another thing. If you can turn that on and be in the moment, that kind of puts you at your highest capability. Take like a guy like Poirier again. Really nice kid. Really, really good guy. Really good person. Nice guy to be around. But he can turn it on. Like, he can turn it on in the gym. He can turn it on in fights. And yeah, you can slip up sometimes. But a lot of times those slip ups come from thinking about what's next. What's this win going to get me? And you're not here right now dealing with what's happening right now. You're thinking about, okay, I get to this win, then I get to this guy.
Right. Were you surprised with the Lombard versus Hendricks result?
Surprised? I thought Hector won. When I was watching, I was thinking Hector is kind of winning. I think I was more focused on the forward pressure, but I did think it was close, and I wasn't upset with the decision.
I was surprised that Johnny's able to take some of his punches. I mean, he was hitting him pretty flush, and Johnny's got a chin. He spent
10 rounds with Robbie Lawler, man. He could take anybody's punches.
Yeah, but I mean, Hector, it's just crazy. I feel like we got cheated in some way of Hector's best years not being in the UFC. I know he went on that like 20-fight Bellator streak and he was fighting in Japan or fighting whatever. But I wish we had that Hector, the guy who won in the UFC. I would love to have seen him 10 years ago because he is 38 years old. And I don't care what you say at 38, unless you're Hendo or Randy Couture or certain guys at 38 can pull it off. But most guys can't.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a disappointment. But I mean, Fedor's never fought in the UFC.
Yeah,
like that's a crime.
But he fought. But the guys he fought in Pride, the Colemans and the guys that he and the Randlemans, those were UFC champions.
Yeah.
So at least he fought UFC champions in his prime. Versus like Hector, I mean, who was the best guy he beat in Bellator? You know,
don't know.
The kid who got kicked off the UFC for kicking out the window.
Well, Jason Taylor.
Taylor. I mean, he beat some good guys, but he didn't. It wasn't the same, you know, as what Fedor was doing.
Yeah,
he never fought Ben Askren.
Never fought Ben Askren. Well, they did in practice. Another guy, Askren's a perfect example of somebody who I wish we would have seen how well he'd do in the UFC, because I do feel like Askren may be pushing the toward end of his career, and it's like there's a guy you got 15-0.
I agree.
Fuck.
I would love to see Ben in the UFC just to see him face that challenge. I mean, it's a different breed of guy in the UFC. Yeah, there's a lot of guys outside of UFC that compete in the UFC, but there are names in the UFC that you would love to see Ben Askren compete against, and it's just not going to happen.
Were you there when Askren and Lombard trained together?
I was there for a while. I didn't really watch them.
That didn't go well, according to according to
training with Hector doesn't go well for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like he's just that kind of guy. It's he's one of those guys that has something to prove all day, every day. It doesn't matter if it's on the mat or not. I mean, Hector just wants to prove. Hector wants to be right.
Is that a Cuban thing? You think it's a
no? Because Yoel isn't like that at all. But Masvidal isn't like that at all.
But is there anybody that's not Hector that's like that? That's as good as Hector? I feel like most guys that are gym bully. Well, I guess Pyle. I guess was known as sort of like a gym bully, you know. Or there's
every gym has one.
Yeah,
but I think Hector's extreme.
Who's the gym bully at CSW?
I'm a fan of CSW.
Where do you train?
CMMA.
At CMMA, who's the gym bully?
I don't think we have a gym bully.
No. Yeah, but here's the thing about a gym bully. Sometimes, if you're tough, the bully's not going to bully you.
Yeah. You know?
I also might get the not getting bullied because I'm a girl thing.
That's possible, too.
And maybe because your boyfriend's next watching. Is it?
No, he doesn't come watch me train. That would be weird.
He doesn't ever. You never look in the corner and he's there. Because like during your fights, during the fights, he's hiding in the bathroom, peeking out. It's
drinking Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke. It's very strange, but it's cute. It's adorable. It's an adorable thing. So Tyron Woodley, Josh Thompson, next week. That's the fight we're all talking about.
Tyron Woodley, Stephen Thompson.
Okay. Stephen Thompson, right?
Josh hasn't woke up yet.
Stephen Thompson, Tyron Woodley. I'm picking Woodley. Other people are picking Thompson. Who are you picking, Colleen?
I think Woodley wins that. I'm more excited about Khabib and
we're not Ferguson. There yet. Okay, but okay, thank fine. You.
You just said the one everyone's talking about, and I'm way more excited about the co-main.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Eve?
Yeah, I'm with her on that.
But Woodley Thompson?
I think after the first fight, Woodley has the most ground that he can cover. I feel like Thompson showed pretty much all of his game, almost 100% of it. And Woodley was able to show a lot of his game, but you see where he can be better in those parts of his game.
Is he going to walk out the Nation of Islam for this fight? That's the word on the street. Is that no, he's not going to do that.
I doubt it. I'm picking T-Wood in this one.
Picking T-Wood and you?
I got Woodley.
Why are you upset about this?
I mean, because I had Wonderboy in the first one, and I just think, you know, Woodley, like Eve said, there's a lot of stuff he hasn't shown. He's been training with Sage Northcutt. I mean, you got to get better when you're training with Sage.
Pick.
I pick Woodley. I think he's really fired up. He's more fired up about this fight than I think I've seen him about any fight in the past few years that he's been in the UFC.
I agree. I think that certain fighters are good with a chip on their shoulder, and certain it just weighs them down. And Woodley, when he has something to prove, like that with that Robbie fight, you know, and I think Woodley wins this fight too. Joe the Kid?
Listen, dude, I want Thompson to win. I think he'd be such a good champion. We've seen the embeds. He's such a nice dude. He trains with the Kali sticks.
He also voted for Trump.
So what? No big deal.
All right, go on.
But I think Woodley is going to win.
That's your, like...
What? You think Woodley's going to win?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. Everybody in town is training with Tony, and they're telling me how good Tony looks. Being Renato,
everybody in town.
I don't. Khabib has gorilla strength. He grabs onto you.
Strength.
Bear, gorilla. They're both very strong. Okay,
Russian. I think we go with bear for the analogy.
All right. Thanks, yeah. MapQuest. Okay,
geographically appropriate.
MapQuest.
All right. So, I think that
Harambee is not in Russia.
All right. I think that Khabib wins this fight. Colleen.
So this match has been talked about for a long time, and I used to think Khabib, but I think Ferguson's going to take it. Just Khabib's been out for so long, and the way Tony's progressed as a fighter, I think Tony Ferguson's going to beat
him.
He hasn't
been out that long. He fought Michael Johnson, UFC 200.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and he looked really good, but I think what Ferguson has on the ground is going to end up, I think he'll end up submitting him.
Really? They think he'll pull off Eddie Bravo. Now, if he pulls off an Eddie Bravo submission, like a twister or some crazy electric chair or
a zombie,
zombie
dog.
Or whatever the fucking the running bong hit, whatever the hell, like
Tower 7.
Tower 7. If he does that,
chemtrail.
10th Planet will be.
Chili dog.
I mean, 10th Planet is already on fire.
Submission by chemtrails.
Every Starbucks will become a 10th Planet in the world. I mean, that would be the greatest thing for Eddie Bravo is if Tony pulls this off. Eve, who wins this fight?
Man, I don't know. I think Khabib is one of those guys that he is so dominant. That then the way he's done that to everybody, but then Tony's style is that is on the ground. It's that weird open scramble creating. I just don't know if he's going to be able to create scrambles with a guy like Khabib. Those Dagestani dudes, they shut you down, man. They don't let you get around.
What do they do? Do they have school in their kid or just 19 hours of wrestling?
It's weird. It's like they're American wrestlers that are good at holding you down, but this Dagestani stuff, it's completely different. I don't get how you get that good at being able to do that.
His control is just mind-blowingly good.
Yeah, like nobody gets up. It's ridiculous.
I've shown so many people that Khabib versus the bear video. It's so funny. You know, you've seen that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, him as a child, he's wrestling a bear. in a backyard, and a bunch of parents are sitting around watching this. This is like they're like, this is like, oh, it's his birthday. I'll have him wrestle a bear. And like, if this happened in the U.S., there'd be child services called in 3 seconds. They would take away the bear, the parents. It's unbelievable, and it's different.
Child services and animal protection.
Yes, and it, yeah, and the thing is, and the thing is, if you watched a clip, which I have 5,000 times. It's different bears and different kids. It's not different bears.
One's a striker, one's a jiu-jitsu guy.
No, but it's different times. It's not like one.
No, I know.
It's not one isolated wrestling match. I'm showing Colleen the bear.
It's almost like it's kind of a joke to me, but like you remember in 300, the movie 300,
yeah,
okay,
where it's like trial by fire. They send the kid out. He has to like kill a wolf to be able to come back to the village and like live his life. I feel like when the kid's born in Dagestan, they're like, all right, you got 6 months, and then we're throwing you out
this
with a fucking
adorable
bear.
This is adorable. I want
to
wrestle a
bear. I feel
bear.
Like the bear is like working at the delivery, like right when it comes out of the mom's womb.
Yeah, he's like, all right, that one's mine. I get that one in the fucking forest or whatever. Like, honestly.
Doesn't this make you think that your parents
Khabib, your birthday today,
like
you 9,
bear?
You wrestle bear. You mine now.
Yeah, I would like to wrestle a bear. The bear's looking to having fun, but first of all, I have so many questions. Like, where do you
get a bear?
Where do you get a bear?
You live in Dagestan. That's did where they, you get a bear.
My question is, where does this bear train?
Did they declaw the bear?
I think it's 18 Dagestan.
Like, is the bear just hanging out, like, in the woods? And they, hey, come on and come. Like, how are they getting the bear over there? Like, who's responsible for this? Who took this video?
Turkey.
like the bear signed the contract. They're like, how'd they get the bear there? They got the bear there for 5-5.
Yeah, bears.
This is adorable.
They train him for 25 minutes before he goes with Cobb.
If I ever have a kid, he's wrestling a bear.
But I asked him on the thing, who would win, the bear or Pettis? And Khabib said the bear would win because he's got better wrestling. and he's better at takedowns. But I don't know if does the bear even know the rules of wrestling?
Dude, he got back control. Yeah,
does he need to know the rules? Like,
so apparently when you get back control, you nibble at the neck.
Is fucking John McCarthy standing there going, all right, stand him up. Too much grappling.
But
like,
does the bear think it's freestyle, Greco, or collegiate? I mean, the bear doesn't...
Well, it is Russia, so I don't...
It's sambo. It's clearly a sambo bear. Yeah. It just went for a leg lock.
That would be funny if it wasn't even a bear. It was like John Dawson in a bear costume.
Like, he just shot in on a single on the bear. Look.
Maybe that's
what... bear sprawled.
Yeah, for real.
Maybe this is what Josh does on the weekends. He flies to Russia and puts a bear costume on.
No, that's part of their sex life. But
furry thing. I told you. Watch. He stands up. He just straight up shoots it on a single and the sprawls.
Yeah.
The bear sprawled.
The bear's having a blast.
Yeah. They both are.
I think, I have so many questions about this. Right?
Is this your new training technique for your middle schoolers?
Honestly,
just bringing a bear.
I thought about for like the TV show I'm writing, like the kid from Russia who's like, can I bring in my training partner? And he brings it.
And this other Dagestani kid is just standing there like, when's it gonna be Mike?
I got a better double leg than that.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, though. Like, okay, so say you're Khabib and you grew up wrestling bears. Like, how much of a threat is Tony Ferguson? You know?
Yeah, the thing is that bear has no ground game. So that's the thing. Like, Tony's got that weird... he's long, he's lanky, he's got that weird open
style
in the ground.
The bear
doesn't
know rubber guard, man.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's the only, not concern, but that's the only thing I think Tony is going to be able to use to either create scrambles to get back to his feet, and I think he'll be dominant on his feet if he can get into exchanges. But, I mean, if Khabib gets a hold of him, it's just it. But he's just got to get a hold of him 5 times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Khabib's never been 5 rounds.
Yeah,
Tony's been 5 rounds. He went 5 rounds with Rafael Dos Anjos. He's got good cardio. He's been training in elevation. And again, Khabib has to get him down 5 times, grind him out. Whereas we've seen Michael Johnson hit Khabib and rocked him. And I think Tony has better striking, and he has much better footwork.
He doesn't have better speed
movement
than Michael Johnson, though. Michael Johnson has like...
But he's more, you know, more footwork, more head movement. I've got... As my Uncle Hanach would say, Tony Fergs.
You think Tony Fergs is going to win?
I think Tony Ferguson's going
to
win.
I think the UFC wants Khabib to win, because if Khabib wins...
They can go to Russia.
They go to Russia, and Khabib versus Conor in Russia would be...
But would Conor take the fight in Russia?
why wouldn't he? I mean, the money they would generate just out, like, I mean, they could do a soccer stadium in Russia if they wanted to.
And 25 million.
He could do, right? How much did?
I'm saying he could get 25 million. That's the Mayweather purse. That
you think he could get that against Khabib in Russia?
I think he could make that. I mean, what has he made? What is the most he's made in the U.S.?
Disclosed?
Like, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like
no, I mean, off of paper
total.
Like, well, the guy with 6 McGregor tattoos. Tell us.
Conor for the Aldo fight made somewhere around 16 million.
Yeah. So wow. 25 in Russia? Sounds reasonable.
I'm telling you, and Russians, I got to say, out of all the fan bases, I believe that Russia has the most diehard fan base. Any one of these guys from Dagestan, whoever they fight, these Russians go on their Instagram and just
talk so much. But,
and they do it in Russian, though. Like, so you don't even know what the hell they're saying. And then it never
just click see translation.
Yeah, but it's always kind of weird. It's always like, I will punch you hard. It's like never like he's going. They talk so much shit. They are a very loyal fan base. Russian. I mean, do you think that's the most loyal fan base out of all the, Ireland? Like I told this on the show before, but like Conor McGregor comes to Vegas, and there's 10,000 Irish people in Vegas.
They come out.
There's not an American who would travel to Ireland in any sport where one American would follow that person, other than maybe their family and people that they fly out. Right. I mean, Mayweather goes to, say he fights in Italy. The women on his plane are going, but
people don't love Mayweather like they love Conor, though.
But there are American athletes people love. LeBron James goes to basketball. They play in England. Are Cavs fan going to England?
But we have so many.
No, but there's so many opportunities to see
stars
them
in the U.S. that it's not a novelty, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how many stars are there of the caliber of Conor McGregor that are recognized on an international level that come out of Ireland? That's a very unique thing for that country, right? Yeah. So people rally behind that. You get a much more
we got
a stronger
spoiled
sense
like
of nationalistic pride because of
that's
that.
Science.
Like GSP too. When GSP fights in America, the Canadians come in droves. But with Khabib, you remember when I showed you that video when they opened the Reebok store and Khabib was there?
Yeah.
And there was 25,000 Russians
that
showed up just to meet him.
Are we all saying his name wrong?
Is it Khabib or Khabib?
Khabib, I don't know.
You're just making that up?
I've been saying Khabib.
It's Khabib.
Is it Khabib?
It's Khabib.
Okay.
I think that's what I heard on the.
Seems like a nice guy, too.
Like Khabib.
He is. He's
sounds like a Khabib with a small K at the beginning.
Khabib. Yeah.
So who are you fighting next there, beautiful lady?
Eve is talking to you.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want to fight for the inaugural flyweight title when Bellator does it. So if that means one more and then fight for that, whoever the hell they want me to fight.
What about that pretty Russian girl?
Anastasia
Yankova. I don't think they would let me fight her because I would kill her, yeah.
The other girl's not bad, though. The Mexican chick that won last week. That was a pretty fun
Beta
fight.
Arteaga. She looked like an adorable pickle.
Right?
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, in a cute way, you know? Like
She didn't look like an athlete, but no. She fought like one.
Yeah, totally. Scrappy, man. Girls got heart and aggression, and it's fun to watch her fight. But you're like, you should probably be at 115.
I'll tell you, though, Brooke Mayo's got heart, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was so upset when they stopped
for her
fight.
For her first fight, too.
Yeah,
her eye did look pretty bad.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I don't think she went. She was behind, I think, two or three rounds. So
I think it was bad enough that it was a reasonable stoppage.
Yeah, I think
there's
so.
There's no way she could see out of that.
Yeah, that was bad,
and it was very unlikely that she was coming back.
But it's one of those she lost, but it's not a loss. Like, she looked great. It was her debut. Everyone wants to see her fight again. So.
Pretty cute too. Mm-hmm. Pretty attractive.
Not with that eye.
So you
did you see they announced the next strawweight championship fight for the UFC?
Tell me.
UFC 211, Joanna Jędrzejczyk defends against Jessica Andrade. The fight I've been asking for.
Ooh.
It is. I don't know who to pick. I'm just excited.
I tell you, Joanna's
going
to destroy her.
What?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Joanna's going to destroy her.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because the striking is cleaner. I mean, Andrade is like she's like Vanderlei's little sister. Everything is
like Vanderlei. Yeah.
And Joanna's so technical and sharp, and uses
she's
the
just
range
pick
so
her
well.
Apart.
And she'll fuck. Yeah, totally agree.
She'll get and she'll get taken down a couple times. She'll stand. She's working her wrestling.
Great.
She's working her wrestling. I was watching her when I was down there. She had just gotten back. She was there the last week I was there, and her and Mike are doing some work. And she's working some tough girls wrestling right now.
Now, why would they say the other girl who's the one who's dating the champ, Nunez?
Nina.
They said on the thing that everyone on the gym said that she's the most talented girl in the gym.
She's She's very talented.
But that's including Joanna, the champ?
Talent is not necessarily... That doesn't mean where you are. That means what your potential is, you know? Nina is very talented. I haven't trained with Joanna. Nina was actually... I was her first coach. She used to come to my MMA class when I lived in Florida. And I didn't even know that. She told me that. But she has talent. And yeah, she could ultimately be better than Joanna, but it's going to take a lot of work to get there. She has the talent to get there, but she's not there yet.
It's crazy. Her and Nunez spar, like they're girlfriends, and they're married. They're going to get married. Are they married? And do you think Nunez is pulling her punches a little bit when they spar, or she's going full force?
No, she's not trying to beat up her girlfriend.
Yeah.
But like, you really don't do that in practice too much anyway, you know? She definitely want to get more work, and if Nina's given her good work, she wants to keep her around.
Now, do you and Josh ever spar or no?
No. Oh. He weighs more than 100 pounds more than me.
Do you ever sweep him in bed or no?
He weighs more than 100 pounds more than me.
Okay, no problem. I got it. I totally understand. And how's the wife going with you, Eve?
How's
the wife?
She's okay.
Yeah,
this is good.
Yeah, I know. You guys happy in California? You guys moved. I know you guys moved.
Yeah, I like California a lot, man. It's nice here.
Where'd you move to?
Eagle Rock.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you coaching?
A little bit.
Where?
Sometimes. Wherever.
Yeah,
I just kind of bounce around. I go to the yard some. Go over to Unbreakable. I haven't been over there in a while.
The yard with what's his name?
Joe Shilly.
Yeah. I like Joe.
Pasadena Fight Academy sometimes. Joe is awesome.
He's a throwback. What a throwback fighter that guy is. Random Marco, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It is me, Joe the Kid Perez, Colleen the Thoroughbred Schneider, as well as Eve Edwards and CB the Grafting Champion Gold. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Congrats on your big win. You beat the number 3 girl in the world. That was a huge upset. Congrats.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited about it. I've been wanting this for so long, and finally came, and I came out successful. I'm on cloud 9 right now.
And I mean, it was a solid, it was an exciting fight, solid fight. Now, in the first round, when she took you down, it was almost like you were paying homage to Gary Goodrich with those elbows. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen that fight, and I've done that move a million times in practice and everything, and I pictured myself throwing elbows, but her head was too far away, so I was like just giving it everything I had with the hammer fist.
It was pretty awesome, and then it was a close fight. At the end of the fight, now, did you think you were going to get the win, or did you think that they were going to give it to Carla? What was your thoughts right before that? They read up the scorecard?
I just thought I felt like I did everything I could and that I did enough. I felt like I did enough, and I didn't know she threw an illegal knee to the face, but I don't know. I just felt like I did enough, and I wasn't gonna walk out of there with a loss. I felt like I wanted it more too.
It was a battle. Now, who do you want to fight next?
You know, I'm just looking at celebrating right now, but I do have one person on my mind. I was thinking about fighting Tisha Torres next.
And how come you want to fight Tisha?
She's up there in the rankings. I feel like I should be ahead of her. I don't know. I fought the former champ, and I think that would be a good next matchup for me.
Nice. Now, at the end of the fight, you said you were against bullying. You got to stop bullying. Personally, I think sometimes bullying is good, and I'll tell you why. Because when someone gets bullied, then they make a comeback, and then like I knew kids in my school that like in seventh grade, everyone was picking on this one kid. That dude beat the shit out of the bully. He was then the coolest kid in the school. Got all kinds of girls. Everyone celebrated. Without the bully, you don't have the hero. You know, so right.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, you know, you don't know what kind of personality people have, you know? You know, what if you say something wrong and that person is having a bad day or has a bad life, or you don't know what's going on at home, and all of a sudden, you know, something happens, they do something drastic. You know, you never know who you're messing with, you know?
That's true. Now, that's a good point. That's true. Now, were you upset that it was basically Carla and Felice and them were bullying you, or that they were bullying Heather, Joe Clark? Who specifically are we talking about in that situation?
Well, there was a lot of bullying going on in the house. A lot of stuff that was just like blew my mind. I'm like, oh my God, we're grown adults. How are we treating each other this way? But after before I fought Felice, it was a lot of like they're trying to get in my head, trying to, you know, bother me constantly, picking on me and stuff. But yeah, there was a lot of other people that were being picked on too. That it was unnecessary. We're grown women. It was pretty embarrassing, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Now, and how's the marriage, by the way?
It's going good.
Does he like your new hair?
Yeah, he loves it.
Nice. So now your hair matched with your outfit. Was that on purpose?
Yeah, actually, I was going for that.
Oh, that's good.
I'm really glad that they changed the colors. I really like the red.
No, it was good. I like. Are you going to keep the red? Or are you going to go different to? Are you going to like? You know.
I don't know, I like the red right now. Blonde doesn't suit me, or you know, black suits me. But I don't want to go black. I like to stay to red.
I think the red's good.
I like the red too. It's a good look.
So now, now Angela Hill says on her thing that there was a give and take in the house. Randa was an asshole, so Felice was an asshole back, as is life.
So who's Angela Hill?
She was the...
who the fuck is that guy?
She was the Invicta...
who was that?
She was the Invicta champion. Now she's back in the UFC. She fought a good...
No, I don't recall.
She was in the house, right? She was the black girl in the house.
She was the black girl in the house.
She was the black girl in the house.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
All right, so she says Randa was an asshole on the show and had like three girls on her side. Felice and Carla responded accordingly, even though they were outnumbered. So
Right.
So you would like to comment on this?
No comment. I don't even know who that is.
All right. Throwing shade. Eve?
Hey, Randa. Did Carla surprise you with anything? Because going into that fight, all I expected her to try to do is take you down, sit in your guard, and try to ground and pound. I don't see a lot from her when I think about her fights. That's the thing that stands out most to me. She doesn't pass a lot, doesn't do a lot of advancement in position and damage. She just stays inside the guard and does work from there. But this fight was a little bit more dynamic. Was that her or you, and did she surprise you with anything?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was expecting from her. I was expecting her to come out and just try to take me down, especially the first round. We were preparing for her to try to take me down like five times in a row and try to stay on top of me the whole time. And when I went out there, she didn't do any of that. She wanted to stay up and strike with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. You know, it worked out in my favor. But yeah, they say, you know, she's a boring fighter or whatever, but you know what? GSP is kind of like you can say he's a boring fighter, but he gets the job done. And I respect her, and I respect her style. And but she came out there completely different from what I was expecting, and it worked out in my favor, I think. But if she did come out there wanting to take me down, we were prepared for it.
Now, this camp, you kind of were a nomad, right? You trained at every camp at least once in the country. Where are you training now?
I'm just kind of doing my own thing. I train with my coach, Johnny Glove, and with the striking. I train at my old wrestling gym that I started off in, Windsor Wrestling Club, for my wrestling. I go to my jiu-jitsu coaches for jiu-jitsu, a different gym for conditioning. I'm just all over the place. I'm just getting exactly, you know, specific things that I need from everywhere that I go.
Well, look, I mean, it really paid off. This was the best Randa Marco I've seen. And I was really happy for you to get a win in Canada, too, because I know how being a hometown girl in Canada, that's got to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome when you get the whole crowd cheering you on like that. Every time I fight in Canada, it just feels so great.
Were your parents there?
No, everybody's at home watching, except for my little brother came with me.
Now, I know your parents didn't let you wrestle as a kid. You had to sneak on the wrestling team, and then you kind of, after you started winning, they were actually cool with it. Now that you're on TV winning, do you call them up and, like, rub it in their face?
Actually, my mom's a huge fan now. She hasn't stopped watching the video of my fight, my last fight, since the fight. She's just constantly... Like, I think 50,000 of those views are her. Like, just nonstop. Seriously, she's just such a big fan now, and she's got her whole family praying for me and just watching it. It's really cool to see how far everything has come. You know, from before, she was like, keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody you train. Don't tell anybody you do that. It's embarrassing. Now she's like, tell everyone.
That's awesome. Now, does your husband, does he want to settle down and have kids or no?
He's been wanting to have kids since we got married, and I told him, no, it's not time. I wish he could have children. That would be awesome.
Well, you guys could always adopt a kid, right? Or just steal one.
Yeah, true. I tried stealing it. It didn't work. Nice. My sister wanted it back.
Nice. Now, do you still have family in Iraq?
Yeah, I have my grandparents and my uncle and his whole family there.
So is your first language Arabic? Because I pick up a little accent. I was wondering if you were French Canadian. I didn't know you were from Iraq.
Iraq, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was born in the Middle East and came here when I was only 3 years old. So pretty much raised here, Canadian.
Do you speak Arabic?
I speak Chaldean. I don't know if you guys know what that is. We're like the Christians from the Middle East.
Okay.
That's crazy.
We originated from Babylon.
Wow. When you get mad at your husband, do you curse him out like in Chaldean?
Yeah, my brother, whenever my brother's around, we'll just talk shit about him in my language and he gets upset.
That's so fucked up. I like it, though. I like it.
She sounds like a tough Care Bear.
Yeah, yeah. Colleen, any questions for Randa?
Well, I didn't know you were born in Iraq. That's interesting. How did you end up coming to Canada?
Well, there was a war in 1989, what was it? Yeah, 88, 89, and my dad was in the military. He didn't want to go. He knew that he was, if he went, he was going to get killed. So we packed up and packed up what we could carry, and we fled the country. And it took us a while. We were refugees in Turkey for a year before we were able to come to Canada.
So do your parents hate Trump?
No, they're actually, we don't hate Trump. Think he's,
they're in Canada.
He's
they don't
kind
care.
Of doing the right thing, but he's not going about it the right way. I don't know.
Got it. Well, listen. So
we're not Trump haters.
So you're calling out Tisha Torres. Now Eve trains Tisha Torres, right?
I don't train her. Dean does.
Oh, Dean does.
Why do you get us confused?
I don't. I thought you also trained over there at ATT. Any advice for her on how to beat Tisha Torres? Tisha's good.
Tisha's good.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what's obvious
she's
is
very good.
Range.
I think she's developed a lot of new skills since The Ultimate Fighter. I think, she's up there in the rankings. I think it's a good step for me to move on to, fighting for the belt one day.
All right, here's what you do. Send Raquel naked pics, okay? She'll flip out and definitely want to fight you. I think that's a good way to do it, right? No? Nobody likes that idea? Fine. Just me. Fine. I got it. Well, listen, Randa, thank you for coming on the podcast. We're all fans here. You're a very sweet, good role model for kids. Kids look up to you. The red hair is great.
Not just because you're tall.
What's your nickname, by the way?
The Quiet Storm.
The Quiet Storm. We got to get a better nickname.
Yeah. Stitch Duran gave me that name. I can't change it.
Stitch
Duran's awesome.
Yeah, Stitch gave me that name, the Quiet Storm.
That's solid.
Yeah. You like the Quiet Storm? Really?
I like that Stitch gave it to her.
Yeah, but the Quiet Storm is just like, it's quiet. What if you like the Loud Storm?
That's just obvious.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I actually call my girl the Storm sometimes because she gets wet. Anyway, listen, people. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Randa. You're the Quiet Storm. You're amazing.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Take care and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Quiet Storm. I like it.
I like Randa. I'm happy to see her doing well. I don't like that she was throwing shade at Angie, though. Angie's my girl.
Really?
Yeah, Angie's awesome.
Well, Angie was kind of throwing shade at her first, though.
I don't know. I didn't watch
and
the
Angie
show.
Probably farted on her.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the backstory on that.
I was buying it. I was buying that she didn't know who Angie
was. Really?
No, that was probably like one of the more heated contestant seasons than any of the other Ultimate Fighter seasons. Like, usually it's the coaches, but yeah.
Well, you knew it was going to be. First of all, you have 115-pound women fighters, girls who've never made a fucking dollar in their lives. Yeah. Now all of a sudden they're getting fame. You're putting them in a house. They don't have to even try out for the house. They just get into a house, and you're like, oh, winner's the belt. They all kind of already knew each other.
And they on top of that, again, we're talking about 115-pound women who are in a position where they have to cut weight on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, regularly. They're not going to be happy campers.
It was a good season. That was one of my favorite seasons to watch.
It was great. I liked that one. I liked the 135-pound men and women. That was cool. I haven't watched the last couple ones. I just can't. This new one looks pretty good.
I don't ever watch that show.
Really?
Yeah.
You try out for it, though, right?
Yeah, I'm on the first episode.
Oh, I got to ask you about that, by the way. So you lost to Shayna Baszler, right?
Yeah.
And then Shayna goes, "How dare she?" or something. Or,
yeah.
And then you and Shayna became friends afterwards, right?
Yeah, we're really good friends.
But did you ever
tell her? But I still wanted to fight her for a long time after that.
You were friends?
Yeah, because lost that fight. Yeah. It's not a personal animosity thing.
But that's also very obnoxious for her, right? Were you like...
Yeah, but it's also Shayna being Shayna.
She's playing
like
a character.
Like, we call her douchebag Shayna playfully because that's what she does. That's how she is.
She was playing a character. Yeah. Now, are you and Ronda still friends or no?
Ron and I are like acquaintances.
You guys don't like hang out.
Yeah, like Jessamine and Shayna and Marina are all really good friends of mine.
Right. And Ronda was like you knew her, but you guys wouldn't like go out for tea or something. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. You guys don't break bread. That's what the kids say nowadays.
That's exactly what the kids say. You want to go to In-N-Out and break bread?
So
yeah, bro.
Got it. Now, how's Shayna? She's doing pretty good in wrestling, right?
She is over. She's doing a 3-month tour in Japan, wrestling for Stardom. She's wrestling for the championship against this girl Io, who's amazing tonight. I think tonight or tomorrow.
I think it's tonight.
Yeah, and then in 2 days she's doing an MMA fight for Deep Jewels against this girl King Reina.
It's a real fight.
Yeah, it's
the
a real
girl
fight.
Who's the king?
Yeah, it's Japan. Whatever.
It's Japan.
Her name's
they
King,
don't have
her
to
name's
make
King
sense.
Reina, and King is all capital. Whenever they write,
why?
The King
why do I?
All
how
capital.
Come no one knows about this fight? Where do I watch this fight?
I mean, I'm sure it'll stream somewhere. It's for Deep Jewels, and yeah. So she's wrestling pro wrestling for the Stardom Championship tonight, and then in 2 days doing a real MMA fight.
Damn,
she's been wrestling
she's
for
been
a
hanging
while.
Out with Josh
she's
too long.
She's right? really good. Like
yeah.
her wrestling
her
is
pro
really
wrestling.
Good.
She's one of the best.
Good for her.
And from what I heard, she's getting a NXT Performance Center tryout. Which
can
means
she do like off the top rope?
It
did already happen.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Can she do off top rope splashes and stuff?
She's not a fucking flyer, dude. She's a shooter.
Well, I don't.
She's
fucking
more,
38. I don't know what you're talking
like,
about.
She's like more like strong. She's like strong style, right?
Yeah,
kind of like powerhouse strong style.
Yes. What are you talking? What the
she
fuck
doesn't
is strong
do
style?
Flippy shit.
Yeah,
she does like rough, beat you up. I'll suplex you and hit you. And
she doesn't what, do, does she do like Rikishi ass
clothes?
No, but one of the moves that she does do that like it takes a lot of strength to do is if you're laying on the ground, if you're laying on the mat, stomach down. She'll grab you gut wrench, deadlift you, and then flip you over her head and just slam
you. And she
you.
Does that multiple times in a row.
And she has a good German suplex, too. Mm-hmm. Very good German.
Nice.
German suplexed her when we were wrestling.
I've seen the, yeah, I've seen the
you
were,
you
didn't
too?
You bridge
Shannon
on her?
And I, yeah. Shannon and I did a pro wrestling match.
Did you win?
No, she armbarred me, bitch.
She beat you? Shayna beat you in pro wrestling? That's twice. You're now,
I beat her in a catch wrestling match. Fuck you. We're 1-2.
Okay, all right, fine. When was this catch wrestling match?
The catch wrestling match was an exhibition match that we did at Jiu-Jitsu in the Park a couple summers ago.
I like it.
So we did a catch wrestling rules match because it was kind of at Jiu-Jitsu in the Park. And we're like, oh, we want to show catch wrestling. So it was you could win by pin or submission.
Did you tell her afterwards, how dare you?
No, I'm not an asshole.
Yeah, but at least you did it back to her. That would have been kind of cool.
See, when I was little, we watched movies in the park. Now they're just beating the shit out of people.
Yeah. I mean, your parents tried to leave you in the park. So anyway, listen.
Hilarious.
All right. It was pretty. They laughed. Okay, so Joe, how you doing, man?
Well, man, I have an announcement.
What's that?
You know,
if you say you're engaged, I'm leaving.
No.
What?
You know, these past few months I've been on the show, I've talked about all these crazy stories.
Yes.
You know, I've been with crazy women.
Let's catch Colleen up. Okay, so... one girl he went out with wanted him to stab her during sex, to cut her. She was a cutter, and she had a machete under her bed. Another girl had a really, really hairy bush, this fat chick, kept sending her masturbation videos, right? And then he lost his virginity to a 45-year-old chick,
yeah.
50, that he got into a car accident with while the cops were coming. He banged her in his car after hitting his car.
He didn't get in a car accident.
She did.
Yeah.
She did.
And then the other girl was on heroin. one.
The girl on Harold.
Yeah, that's just basic.
Let's see, the Argentinian who needed a green card.
Yes.
The girl that FaceTimed him while taking a shit.
Wait, this is all within the last several months.
Dude, this is like a TV like series on HBO.
How old are you?
You definitely need to pay for the cable service.
So you just lost your virginity in the last year.
I lost my virginity when I was 18.
And then, but then you did the comedy set that night, right? At the Haha. I saw you that night.
Yeah.
All right. Which is funnier?
Banging the chick while you're waiting for the cops to come is actually pretty cool.
Did you get more laughs during the sex or at the Haha?
The sex. I mean, it was not a good experience. But my announcement is, guys, that I'm trying to now remain abstinent.
Well, you've been trying that for 19 years.
You're fired.
Succeeding.
No,
wait, what do you mean you're trying?
You're now fired.
I just realized all the crazy stuff I was doing. I could have got so many STDs. I'm not saying I didn't get any STDs.
How many did you get?
You know what a
condom is,
right?
I can't say on the show.
I mean,
I risked so much stuff. I could have got a deadly disease. I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's kind of embarrassing.
Okay. You brought it up!
I never even got STD tested, but I'm sure I got something.
Oh my God.
Okay, How many girls do you need to call and tell them to go get tested?
They don't have phones. All right, go on.
Wait. Can we just talk about the trying to be abstinent? You either do it or you don't. Yeah.
Well, we got to start by trying, and then you eventually just get, in the groove of not doing it.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's married. He's been married for years.
He's checked out at this point.
All right, so what happened? Why are you trying to do this?
I'm just trying to be safer. I'm trying to live. I don't want to live too long. I want to, like, peak out at maybe 60, but I just want to make sure that I don't get nothing weird.
Shit you say when you're 20.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, he forgot to.
What about trying to find a girlfriend?
Oh, I'm gonna get it tomorrow night because I have another. You're not gonna believe this.
Wait, how are you trying to stay absent? But I'm gonna get it tomorrow.
What are you getting tomorrow night?
I have another girl.
Yep.
From Argentina.
Yep.
Who is not a U.S. citizen.
Who? Yep.
But she's about my age. She's not 30 something like the other one. She's about maybe 28.
Yep.
I'm gonna take her. This is the same girl I brought to the Haha that you did.
She's cute.
Yeah, she's not too bad looking.
She's cute.
And we haven't done nothing yet. Maybe we hump. Maybe we, she maybe touched
hump.
Me.
Hump.
Go what on. What year is this?
It's nothing crazy. We haven't had sex
yet. They're going to break bread and then they're going to hump.
Tomorrow, I'm going to take her to CBS Studios. We're going to go see a TV tape.
CBS Studios?
No, CBS.
Yeah.
CBS.
The toilet section.
Fucking STD section.
All right, go on.
Because she wants to be an actor. I'm going to go show her a real show.
Yes.
She doesn't really speak that much English, but it's all right. I don't
Is
speak
it CSI?
Go on.
So I'm pretty sure that's going to get me lucky tomorrow.
So but then you're not going to be abstinent if you're going to get laid tomorrow night.
Yeah, but that's a real thing, though. Abstinent, I'm talking about from being with crazy bitches on the internet.
Oh, you're not going to just have...
Abstinence means you don't have sex with anyone.
When's your birthday?
Anybody
isn't it coming up?
You don't want to.
When's
no,
your birthday?
No,
wait.
That's not what abstinence means.
When's your birthday?
Means you
it's
don't
March
have
13th.
Sex.
March 13th. Can I buy him a dictionary for his birthday?
No. All right.
I'm serious, though.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So, good for you. Keep us posted how it goes.
But, I have another thing I want to bring up before I end this podcast.
Please.
I think, I'm a nice guy. I don't dislike anybody. I'm not racist. But today I think I did something that was maybe racist.
What'd you do?
So I have a film class at school. And at my school, they have like a big soundstage, like a professional film soundstage. You have like a – it's set up for a sitcom with three cameras. So I had to film a PSA today.
What was your PSA? Was it just your dick?
No, the PSA
– All right, go on.
It was like there's a gentleman – and his mother, the actors are both African-American, and I played a drug dealer, right?
Yep.
And so the scene is I come into the house after the mom leaves, and I try to sell the kid drugs.
All right.
So what I did was, I don't know why I did this, and there's like 50 people there watching. I bust in, and I say, African-American accent, gangster accent.
What's the African-American accent?
Why don't you just do it, what you did?
Instead
of trying to explain it, let's just...
What did you do?
Play the role.
I walked in, I was like, yo, motherfuckers, I'm trying to sell this weed, you know what I'm saying?
That doesn't sound African-American. That just sounds hood.
I don't know, but I just feel like I shouldn't have done that because it got really quiet when I started to do it. So I got some weed, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I feel like...
Did they get mad? Did they buy the weed from you?
Listen, it was very awkward. I didn't get one laugh.
Okay, were you trying to get a laugh?
That's not
no,
funny.
I just I thought they because I'm trying to be an actor.
Yeah,
I want to act. I don't want to be like, hey, want to buy some drugs? I want to be like, yo, what's up, dog? I'm trying to sell this weed. Got you know what I'm saying?
So how was the PSA?
I mean, have you bought drugs? Is that what the drug dealer sounded like?
I mean, I've never done drugs in my life before.
I think you should start.
Then why on Ween Dog do you talk about you smoking weed all the time?
Oh, I mean, I've done weed. That's not a drug, but
that's a drug.
Weed's a drug. Coffee
I regret
is
to
a
inform
drug.
You that's a drug.
All right, listen.
That's pretty much it, though.
I think you should be abstinent from being racist. You know, it's not really racist. This is bad acting.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right, really so I feel better now.
Okay, all right. Don't worry about it, man.
All right.
You're a real Meryl Streep. All right, so that was the Joe segment. All right. We didn't talk about the other fights on this card. Rashad Evans is fighting, right? Who's Rashad fighting?
Dan Kelly, judo man.
Who's Dan Kelly?
He's like 70-year-old
Australian
guy.
Olympian judoka who's like
Olympian.
400 years old.
He wins fights, but like he comes in with a dad bod. You think he's not going to win, yet he wins somehow, except for Sam Alvey knocked him out. But he's pretty good. He's good at judo, but Rashad should beat him, uh-huh. Unless Rashad's chin is just totally gone, which I don't know.
That's not too. That's a pretty good looking dad bod for a dad bod.
Yeah. So Eve, and in this fight, he like.
I don't know. I mean, in that situation, I'm gonna pick youth, but Rashad hasn't looked the same in a while. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see him win it.
Now Rashad on the show. Were you on the show when he called in? He said that, you know, with the Black Zillions breaking up, he was spending more time worrying about keeping a team together, training everyone for their fights, trying to be like the center for the team, and this than he was with actually caring about himself. And that the Black Zillions breaking up was the best thing for him because he got to just be a fighter again and not necessarily a team captain and yada yada. Do you buy that? Is that a legit thing that could happen to fighters?
Yeah, you got to put yourself first. I mean, it's a team sport, but only you're in there by yourself, you know? So you can't be focused on everybody else at that point. I think that could happen, and if I don't think a Rashad is a guy to make excuses,
right?
You know? So I think that did play a factor. And yeah, maybe if he can focus on himself again, he can get back to what he was doing before.
Yeah, I mean, great guy. There's a guy who I think, you know, should be in the studio every week. You and him, as far as like great, you know, fighters, well spoken, know what's up, likable. The fans like him; they trust him. You know, you say something, people are going to listen. Rashad, some people are going to listen. Yeah, we don't need that WWE guy in there from last week. I'm sorry, but that guy was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's okay. Real quick, I get stuff like that a lot. Like people are like Karen Bryan, is she up there? No, she's not a fighter. And it's like though the person in that seat. They're not supposed to be a fighter. Like, they represent the people that have never had the experience of being in there before.
But if you can... But I think that you could have done a better job as the play-by-play guy than that guy could. I understand he's not a fighter. You could still break...
Yeah, any fighter can. But, like, that's... That's my role. If that guy was not there, would have been the Joe role.
So give it to you guys.
Dan Cormier role.
Give it to the fighters. There should be... I mean, look, you guys aren't getting severance. You know, there's no 10 years in the UFC you get a severance package. It's you're done fighting, which is not how it's like that in football or baseball or basketball. You know, O.J. Simpson killed two people, and they couldn't touch his fucking money. Yeah. You know, so...
He's in the Hall of Fame for life.
So, that's why I would argue for a union. That would be probably one of the main reasons so that fighters get taken care of. And it shouldn't even be 10 years. It should be 5 years. You're in the UFC 5 years. You should be taken care of for life with some kind of a check.
That's one fight for Cain Velasquez.
Okay, fine. I don't care if it's $600 a month. It's something. Something that you should know that you put 5 years into it. But if there's not going to be that, you should have those desk jobs. I understand Karen Bryan is Karen Bryan. She's been doing it for 50 years. Fine. But bringing in, like, new people. Bringing in new people who are WWE guys and, yes, ESPN MMA guys. I don't even know ESPN even had MMA other than Chael's things. Fine. But this, it's ridiculous.
Well,
so,
he's not doing 209.
Good.
It's Anik, Rogan, and Dominic Cruz.
Who's not doing 209?
That guy.
Grisham.
It's the only sport where active athletes are doing analysis. Other sports, active athletes do analysis, but they do that when their season's over.
Yeah,
you know, it's probably because it's not seasonal, but it is weird. Like even in boxing, you don't get a lot. You get a few guys like Paulie Malignaggi,
Roy Jones,
but it's kind of a weird dynamic. But a lot of the guys that are retired, the fans don't know them, you know?
Yeah, but you put Don Fry in front of a microphone, I'm going to listen.
Yeah, you can't put Don Fry in front of a microphone.
I don't care.
That's a hot mic.
I'm going to listen everything.
This is the Don Fry story. This is who Don Fry is for you guys who don't know. He's a former UFC champion, old school Hall of Famer. Anyway, at the inaugural UFC Hall of Fame, I fought on that card, and I had a friend who was this huge Don Fry fan. He was just like, he would do whatever he could to get around Don Fry. So I'm sitting next to Fry, and I'm like, hey, man, my buddy's a huge fan of yours. You mind if I bring him over here, you get an autograph? And he's like, yeah, sure, bring him over. So Don's drinking his beers. He's hanging out. The kid comes over, and he's like, I'm like, hey, Don, this is my buddy Brian. He goes, hey, man, I hear you want to suck my dick.
Really?
That's what he said. And then he grabs him by the crotch, pulls him to him, and it signs his jeans.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And he's like, my buddy has those jeans in like a frame now.
Yeah, that guy, right.
That outdoes any story I fucking
that
know.
Guy should be constantly talking about fights. When him and Boz were doing play-by-play for some, I forgot what it was. It was one of those shark fights or something, or one of those fights. They would talk about their own fights the entire time. They'd be getting drunk. The guy would get it knocked out, and they'd be like, oh, that was a good knockout. Like, kind of like a time that I knocked out. And it was just, but it was hilarious. If you're going to, I don't know. I'd be into it. Don Fry has my vote. Overeem versus Mark Hunt. This fight, I think Mark Hunt's going to win. Colleen, help me.
I don't know how that's going to go. I would think probably Hunt, but... you could go either way.
I would pick Mark Hunt, and I want Mark Hunt to win. And I don't see Overeem trying to shoot takedowns, and I don't see him. I mean, he has the power and the size, but I just don't see him. I mean, Hunt is Hunt.
But you know, Overeem has to know that he's chinny, right? I mean, I know that he can get knocked out by this dude. He's got like a 14-foot advantage against him. I mean. You don't think maybe he's just going to keep him at bay?
He's going to try to.
Three-round fight.
Yeah, he's going to try to, but I mean, it only takes one from Mark Hunt. You know, and it only takes one when it's over him. So that I mean, he's got 15 minutes to land one.
CB?
Mark Hunt's got a lot of pent-up aggression right now from
that
the
Brock
fight.
That doesn't always mean anything.
I'm just, so does my you ex-girlfriend. Asked me my opinion, I'm speaking it. Mark Hunt, I think, knocks him out in the first. Quickly.
Joe?
Well, I think the only way Alistair can win is if he keeps distance with leg kicks, right?
Or a jab?
Yeah, because he's way bigger, he's longer range, but I think Mark Hunt, he's just, like CB said, he has that New Zealand demon inside of him that's about to come out in this fight.
And Mark Hunt's fought bigger guys. Stefan Struve's taller, you know, Bigfoot's...
Yeah, Struve might have the worst fighting IQ in the history of fighting, though. I like Struve, but, I mean, you're up, you know... You know, I'm
just saying
you.
In terms of like height, Mark Hunt can hit anybody. And like
the fight that I want to see, a good fight I want to see on this card that's not getting any people talking about it, but it's going to be a good fight. My man, Mirsad Bektik, ATT guy against Darren Elkins. Bektik is a tough guy, underrated guy. He's been hurt a lot. Nice guy. I think he's from Croatia, I believe. And Darren Elkins.
Bosnia.
Yeah. And Darren Elkins is a beast, although he has the worst tattoo I have ever seen.
Oh, that new one?
Yeah.
The damage on the chest?
He makes you look like fucking Kat Van D.
I didn't know who the hell you were talking about until you made the tattoo reference, and now I know who you're talking about.
It says damage right here, and it's super horrible. Shitty.
He should have said damaged with a D, because that was just fucking... He has damage on his chest.
But it looks like somebody carved it. Yeah. Like, it's supposed to look like a carve wound. It's rough.
Now, why would anyone do that? I'm asking a guy who has six tattoos of Conor McGregor.
People make a lot of bad decisions when it comes to tattoos. I mean, it happens all the time. I see people come in constantly, and they're like, I want this. And my guy will do them, and at the end of it, he'll go, that shit was – I didn't want to do that, but it's fucking money. Like, it's a shitty tattoo. I don't know why you decide on it. But to get the way it's done, when I first saw it, I was like, what are they getting at? Because there was a video of him actually getting it done, and I was seeing the line work and the shading and whatever. It's just – it's a very, very strange tattoo, but you can never really determine what's going through people's minds when they decide.
I know a girl that on her ass, this girl after my show, because I used to do a show about tattoos and, you know, the tramp stamps. I did a joke about it. And this girl was like, check out my tattoo. And this was like a short, fat girl. Not the best looking girl I've ever seen. But on her ass, it had the words deeper. Like, so when guys are fucking her, they want it deeper. Like, that was why she had deeper.
Yeah, I don't think that needs to get explained.
Yeah, so she had deeper on her ass. That's
basic.
You're trying to find the tattoo?
Yeah. By the way,
that's a horrible person.
We were talking about, by the way, Angela Hill called out Joanne Calderwood. She wants to fight Bad Georgia.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a good fight.
Yeah, I think that's an exciting fight.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, here. This is it.
Both fun strikers.
This is the damage. On his chest.
That's horrible.
Yeah, like, right?
That's horrible. It's rough.
Yeah. By the way, Eve, we're going for another 5 minutes. Okay, so now he texts me, how long are we going? So I like it. That's awesome. Also on this card, Bobby Joe Cooper, right? That's her name?
You mean Amanda Bobby Cooper?
Amanda Cooper, yeah. She's fighting Calvillo.
She's fighting who?
I don't know. It like just got announced.
I hate when they show all black because you don't know who this person is. But she's fighting a girl named
That was racist.
Calvillo.
Calvillo.
Do you know her?
I'm looking for it now.
Yeah, Amanda Bobby Cooper. She's pretty good, Amanda Bobby Cooper, right?
Yeah, she is. She's still pretty like young in the game, but
yeah,
she's pretty good. She has potential.
What about Groovy?
Now, what's the card you told me that you wanted to get on? By the way, a Bellator card.
Oh, the one at the end of March, the King Mo and Rampage
in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll get on it, but
why not? You should.
Well, I agree, but it's not up to me. I don't get to play matchmaker and fight.
So do you mean you're not on television? Wait. And you're not on this card. We're not sponsoring you anymore.
Wait, so how did that go though? So you want to do you text Rich Chow?
My manager does. He tells them that she wants to fight. They had said April or May originally, so I had him ask about the one at the end of March. But I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Is Josh your manager?
No.
Oh. No. That would be good. If Josh is your manager, put her on the card or else. You know. So now who does Josh want to fight next? Does he care?
I don't know if he wants to fight anyone in particular. Yeah.
Got it.
He's doing some pro wrestling stuff. He wrestled for TNA. He's got him. They're about to do a match with him and Bobby Lashley.
No way.
Another one.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, man. Like, when you look at that guy, you're like, this is the greatest fighter of all time. This dude is going to murder everybody. And he's a good fighter. I'm not putting him down. He just doesn't fight the way he looks.
He is, yeah. I mean, for the look he has and what he can do, he's an athlete. But he just is not a fighter. He's not like, I want to kill somebody. He's too nice.
But you train with him, right?
I've trained. Yeah, I've been in the gym with him. I've moved around, but I've worked with him a little bit. Like,
I mean, how
drilled.
Is he practice? Is he
he's a driller. He works and he does what he needs to do in the gym. But he just doesn't have that want to fuck somebody up. You know?
How do you teach that? Can you teach it?
Some people just don't have that. Yeah, like, he's just too nice of a guy. That. You know, he could do the pro wrestling thing all day because there's no intent. You know. But the real intention of wanting to destroy somebody, he wants to win. He doesn't want to
fucking murder you.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want to do? You want to murder people?
No, but she could turn that on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like right now, no, of course not. Why would I want to do anyone? But I can get in that headspace in a fight.
Yeah. It's like when there are times in a fight when you get frustrated because of the position you're in. Not so much so that it gets you out of your game. It's just like, this is bullshit. I should not be in this position. I'm going to do something about it. And then you want to do it. I think a guy like Bobby is like, oh man, this sucks. Okay, I had to figure. And it's never like anger, but focused and driven. It's like, yeah. I just got to figure it out. Okay. You gotta
it's
have.
It's like drilling mode, yeah. Versus like,
exactly.
Okay, now it's time to fight and we're going to fucking do this. Yep. I'm going to make this happen.
And I think there's some guys like that.
That's the thing about even like coaching wrestling. It's like heart is the hardest thing to teach.
Yeah.
And killer instinct, you know? I remember one of the parents I knew, this kid was like the most, probably one of the most annoying kids I ever coached. Like, and I, you know, you try not to judge kids, but just such a baby, always complaining and crying and, you know, asking questions that were never relevant. Just, but you know, I liked him, but the mom was a pain in the ass too. The parents would pay the kid when he won.
What?
Yeah. He would get $50 every time he won a wrestling match. And I'm just like, that's just bad.
What the fuck are you trying to teach your kid?
Yeah, it's just bad parenting 101, I think.
We'll pay you to murder people.
Right? I mean, that's just
you're
like
a hitman now.
I mean, that's not, I mean, you should want to win because of pride, yeah. Because of, you know, character, because of spirit, not because your parents are paying you. At the same time, you know, the pros are getting, they probably looked at it well.
Yeah, you're an adult, you're a professional athlete. It's,
that's how you feed your family. And
it's, yeah, it's not how you
it's develop. Your job.
And it, like, when you're doing sports as a kid, it's not your job. You're learning life skills from it. You're learning, like, how to interact with people, how to
solve problems.
Discipline. Yeah, exactly. It's not, that's not the time to be being paid. For your success in athleticism.
You were a black belt in Taekwondo, right? Or you are?
Mm-hmm.
How many boards could you break?
All of them?
Yes.
Yeah, all the boards.
But did they have like five or six or something? Or
yeah, what? I think five's probably the most I've ever done. I've done brick breaking, all that junk.
Really? You break a brick? Wow.
I mean, I didn't get paid for it, though, so maybe I'm not as cool as that kid.
You ever see that like thing where the guy got exposed? Where like the guy goes on a morning show to like break bricks, and then like the morning show host accidentally breaks it himself. that was like one of the funniest things, man. Oh, yeah, they really like. But I was terrible. My parents signed me up for Taekwondo, and I was in third grade. And every 3 months, you got a belt. It was like the biggest bullshit. Like, and I was terrible. And like my little brother could like break a board, and I couldn't. I was like, he was like five. I was crying. It was awful. But I like, still got the belt. Did you take karate as a kid?
I did kung fu.
Kung fu.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, I broke boards and all that silly stuff too.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you now? What the kung fu stance is like this, right? With the. Is it like
I'm sure there's one like that.
Wasn't there like
there's a bunch of them.
I used to watch Kung Fu: The Legend Continues with that guy, and I used to have the video game.
Don't tell him it's not completely accurate.
What, for the Nintendo, where you just walk and kick people.
Yeah, remember that Kung Fu video game?
Yeah, it was
had?
A side scroller.
Yeah. Was that how it was? Did you have to wear like a robe?
I did have to wear the thing, and but my style. There's different styles of Kung Fu, and I did Praying Mantis Kung Fu, so it was kind of silly.
What was
like
that?
Like wushu.
Yeah, it was a wushu style. But
did it work? Does it work in a fight?
No.
Never.
But it did teach me flexibility.
It's
and
not
how
a
to,
combat style.
Yeah.
It's
only not. Against Josh Thompson.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, like, did you ever get in your kung fu stance in like a real fight just to fuck with your opponent? No?
No.
No.
I wasn't that kid.
That's pretty cool. Well, now, what belt? You were a black belt in kung fu?
No. I stopped doing that. I was like, I mean, that was when I moved to America. I started doing that at 15. I stopped doing that after I saw, not right after I saw the first UFC, but probably by UFC 3, I went back to the Bahamas, and I ran into a gym where my buddy's little brother was like, "Where?" I'm like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm going to my ninjutsu class." I'm like, "Ninjutsu? There's no ninjas in the Bahamas." And he's like, "Yeah, no, we do there's grappling and stuff like what you see on the UFC." I'm like, "What? Let's go." I went, and I just turned 18, and this, or maybe I was still 17, but this 14-year-old kid choked me, and I was like, "I'm doing this. Yeah. So let's do this."
That's awesome. That's cool. Ninjutsu.
Yeah.
Can people still take that ninjutsu or no?
I'm sure somewhere people do.
Yeah.
But I don't know of any of the places. There's probably places here in LA. I mean, because they use it for film and whatnot. You know.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I ever see that one thing where the guy was doing this like strange thing in like Japan or something where he was like not even touching people and they were falling over.
Oh yeah.
The cheese stuff.
Yeah, and then like, Fabrizio Verdum did it in his gym.
No, but then he went to like a real thing and he got the shit beaten out of him.
Yeah. I don't remember. It's
Verdum made
name.
A joke video about that where he just kind of like went like that and like guys were falling over and they were like, "Oh, he's going to use it against Kane."
Oh, yeah, it's funny. But how do his students not know that this is bullshit? Like, why are they flying around? Like, are they all in on it?
Yeah.
They drink the Kool-Aid.
Or sometimes if you believe enough in something, you just go along with it. Like, a lot of people fucking speak in tongues in church and shit like that. Like, if you're that invested in it and believe that fully in it, you'll go along with what the person who's directing that energy.
I broke up with the chick because of that. I broke up with this girl.
Speaks in tongues?
Yeah, I swear. That was this girl that was on Survivor. And after sex, she was like, "That starts," and I'm like, yeah, "It's over."
After sex,
yeah, she was like, had this like made up language, and it was so annoying.
She was possessed,
and
actually.
I was like, "This is," I'm like, it's not gonna work out."
Yeah, you should have broke up with her the first time.
Yeah.
You know what she did? This girl, name was Jenna. She put on this like
Jenna from Survivor.
Okay, she
Jenna Jameson.
She put on this thing like this like sex toy. It was like a vibrating condom.
Not a strap on.
Like a vibrating
rings.
Yeah, like a ring, and it's like a condom, and it vibrates in her vagina, and it's like attached to like a leash or something, and like it vibrates in a girl, you know. So I'm like, oh, this will be fun. So we use it. And it was cool. But then I realized like that didn't come out of a box. Like she used that with some other dude, and I never felt gayer in my life except for. Right now, I'm telling the story, but it was an awful experience. Anyway, that's our podcast.
Let's close on that.
Colleen, what do you have coming up?
I'm gonna go clean all my sex toys.
Do you have sex toys, really, with Josh?
Doesn't everyone have sex toys?
Oh, well, tell us.
I am a sex toy.
Well, the podcast's not over now.
Yeah. Which ones do you have?
What I have coming up, I don't know. I'll be fighting for Bellator again soon, so stay tuned. I don't know when.
Nice. Are you good? All right. Are you going to be sponsored by Adam and Eve? Or
is that a sex toy company?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to get the Pleasure Chest to sponsor me. Local.
There you go. I'll see you. Colleen will be at the Pleasure Chest next week. And you, what do you have coming up?
I got Ween Dog Radio, my podcast, Ween Dog TV on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at The Ween Dog. I feel so stupid saying that. On March 30th, we have a Flappers comedy show. It's my birthday.
Nice.
It's going to be fun.
You're going to be 21?
Yes.
Nice. All right. Eve, what do you got coming up?
Even Steven is coming out on SoundCloud today. I think it takes a day for iTunes to upload it. There's a Facebook Live thing for the UFC 209. So if you're watching the fights and you want to get on Facebook Live, the UFC's Facebook Live page, Robin Black, John Dodson, and I are going to be commentating the fights in that arena. And then I'm back at the desk on March 10th for the fight night, March 11th and March 10th for the weigh-ins and the fight night. So tune in on FS1.
Nice. Now, if somebody wanted to hire you as to be their trainer, how would they do that?
They can reach out to me on social media or, reach out to me on social media. I wouldn't say email me because I don't want to.
Colleen, you too, right?
Can you teach me ninjutsu?
I can.
Really?
I can teach you how to disappear.
That'd be amazing. All right. And CB, what do you got?
Nothing.
All right. You can find CB in the hospital. All right. So February, tonight, I'm at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. Tomorrow night, Mandalay Bay in Vegas, 9 o'clock, and 12:30 at the Dirty at 12:30 in the South Point Casino. Saturday night, Pasadena Ice House. Irvine Improv next Tuesday, the 28th. Dime Bar every Monday and Tuesday. March 1st at Stratosphere in Las Vegas. Me and Dean Thomas will be doing stand-up comedy. Dean's very funny. Then MMA Awards. Are you going to the MMA Awards next Wednesday?
Thursday.
No.
Next Thursday?
No.
Do you want to go?
No.
All right, thanks. All right, so...
Thank you.
March 9th, Long Beach Laugh Factory. The 11th, the Iguana Lounge, Pico Rivera. I'm in Calgary at the Comedy Cave, March 14th to the 19th. Thank you very much. Thank you, Randa. Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Uriah Hall. Thank you, Joe the Kid. Thank you, Colleen, for coming in. I know you're very busy with your things that you do. Thank you, Eve, as well.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you all. Hope you all have a great week. Take care. Ween Dog. Bye.